Well, come on, I do welcome you to BC. And man, if you return me, please, to Ezekiel, I'm just going to preach for a short minute, a longer minute, but it'll seem short, I hope. Because this is what I know, is I don't know where you're at in life. And I know that you've come to a service, and I am blown away. Man, myself, Renee, our team, we are blessed by this day. It's a great day. I love seeing this place full. I love having problems in our parking lot and on the main street, man. It's amazing. Just for one service. It doesn't happen like that every week, but we're blessed. But I'm so excited that you're here. Thank you for giving up a day and come celebrating Jesus with us. But I don't know where you're at, man. The reality is that you walk out full, man. You walk out different. I don't want a surface level deal, man. I want us to know the one true living God through his son, Jesus Christ, and that it would penetrate to the deepest part of your soul. See, church, we don't come here to play church. We don't. We're not a religion. We're not a denomination. We're a group of people who just simply love Jesus, and we want as many people as possible to just simply love Jesus. That's just who we are. But I want to minister this morning and just really speak from a place of what's it look like to be lost? What does it mean to really be lost? Have you ever been lost? See, Ezekiel 34, verse 16 says this, and this is amazing because this is God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, and he's speaking some depth of truth that becomes a reality through Jesus Christ. See, you've got the whole gospel in Ezekiel. Sean, this is a Christmas service where I don't even know where Ezekiel is. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Middle, find it. It's right in the middle. Flip and find. Or turn it on your digits. But I love that we do celebrate Jesus in a manger, but the very reason that he came to a manger is gets himself on a cross. So that you and I understand that he is the way maker. He is the one who made a way. John 14, 6, he himself said, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. He's like, I'm it. It's just through me. That's what Jesus said. I'm it. There is no other way. I am the way. I am the way maker. There's no other way. And watch this. I love this. And I will seek the Lord. No, I'm sorry. I will seek the lost. This is the Lord speaking. Ezekiel 34, 16. I will seek the lost. Bring back the scattered. Hear this, please. I love where he says he'll bring back the scattered. Those who once belonged to him. Those who once understood what it was to love, worship, and praise him. But they've drifted. Come on, church, the reality is this. God never drifts. We drift. But he loves us. He loves us so desperately. And he says, listen, what's going to take place? Hear this. What's going to take place is I'm going to bring back the scattered. I'm going to bring back those who've drifted. I'm gonna become so real to them. Parents, if you would pray anything, pray for your kids that God would become so real to them. Not because of you. Because God is real. And he would become so real to so that there's that moment in life where they would say, you are my God. You're not my parents' God, but you're my God. And I love where Ezekiel writes the word of God, where he says, listen, the Lord is saying, I will seek the lost. Like how many, the reality is this, how many will come to this place and say, oh, I found Jesus, when Jesus was never lost? Church, the reality is that the foundation of salvation truly is because of my sin. It separated me from the Lord, which means I'm lost. Come on, have you ever truly been lost? Maybe you didn't know this about me, but I'm an avid hunter. It's what I do. I hunt. First time I've ever hunted was this week, by the way. And I can't carry a gun because I don't have a license. So they said, Sean, you're going to drive the deer. I'm like, okay, I get to drive the deer. So you're gonna move them towards the dudes with the guns. I'm like, all right, I move deer, you shoot deer. Plan, high five, hike, let's go, right? So we get there, man. We get to the camp and we're ready to go. And I'm dressed in my orange, right? and I'm ready to go. Like, I'm driving the deer, right? So we start, and listen, you're with some of your closest friends, right? But I find out very, very quickly, when you're with your closest friends, you can't talk. Hey, how are you? Shh. What do you mean? Shh. No, they'll hear you. Who? The deer. I'm driving the deer. I'm moving the deer. Like, I'm supposed to be loud. Shh, not today. Wait a minute. You're telling me the hunting goes like this. You go with some of your closest friends and you bond, but you can't talk. Shh. I'm like, oh, I don't get this. So, okay, I'm driving the deer. That's cool. So, honestly, I thought we were in the top of Colorado, man. I walked so much. You know how your granddad says, we walked uphill both ways to school, son? Like, I felt I walked uphill. I didn't think there was a downhill. All I did was walk uphill and keep walking uphill and keep walking uphill and keep walking uphill. And I moved the deer. I could see where the deer's feet are running. Like, listen, hunters know this. Like, I'm a hunter. You know this. Like, when a deer moves, it, like, shuffles the snow in the one direction. So you track it, man. I'm a tracker. I'm a driver. I drive the deer. I probably moved 1,000 deer. How many do you think they hit? None. They couldn't shoot one deer. I'm just like, somebody shoot something. I'm walking. I was so sore. On Wednesday, I had a difficult time moving on Wednesday because all we did was walk uphill. I mean, is there any downhill to this? They're like, okay, well, we're going to go downhill now. I think we went down to Satan's pit, man. It was just like at the bottom of the world, and now we have to walk back up. I'm like, can't I call an Uber? What is happening? Ain't nobody shot nothing, and I'm moving the deer. I'm going somewhere here, but hold on. This has nothing to do with Jesus. It will. Hold on. Welcome to Believer's Chapel, BC. True story. We start walking up a hill, and we find a logging road or something, and I see deer. I mean, there's trails of deer. I moved the deer. True story. I moved the deer up the hill, and I'm waiting to hear a bang. Like, okay, I did my part. Do your job, right? I did my job moving the deer uphill. I hear nothing. It's just silence. And I turn to the hunter next. This guy's like a Montana, Colorado, Alaska. He goes everywhere to shoot stuff, right? And he's an unbelievable hunter. And I'm like, dude, we're doing our job. And I'm like, can we just, let's walk. There's like a wide open, like, tree line, trail. Like, can we just walk open? Because they want to go through the bushes and they want to go through. And I'm just like, I'm cramping up. I'm hurting. And he's like, no, we got to go this way. And he has GPS, right? This is amazing. He has GPS and we got to get to the green dot. I'm like, dude, we passed the green dot 4 times by now. Like, can we just walk straight where the deer are? And he's like, we're going zigzag. We're going whoop. We're going whoop. We're going whoop. I'm like, dude, we're not getting anywhere. And finally, true story, he looks at his phone and he says, I don't think this thing is working. I'm like, oh, we're lost. Like, it's just like we're in the middle of the woods. And listen, if you've ever been in the middle of the woods, every time you look up, it looks the same, right? No matter how far you go in the middle of the woods, you look straight up, it just always looks the same, right? So I'm like, oh, dude, we're lost. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. I'm like, we're going to get eaten out here. He's like, dude, I carry a gun. We're going to be okay. I shoot stuff. I said, ain't nobody shot nothing all day. And then the other hunters heard my little rant, and they're like, you're not lost. You're fine. But the reality is, church, I want to hit this because it's so real. What happens when you really know you're lost? Have you ever really been lost? 29 years ago, I joined a fraternity. I would not recommend that. And there's one of these nights in the fraternity world that they take you and they hit on you a little bit and they put you in the trunk of a car, blindfolded, and they drive you for 2 hours. And they drop you in the middle of nowhere. And they hit you again and say, don't miss your class in the morning. And I mean this, like 29 years ago, I felt just completely, totally lost. Like I have, like literally the whole point was to not have, I don't know what the point was, but honestly, they dropped me off in the middle. And listen, 29 years ago, I did not have a cell phone. There was no cell phone for me. There was nothing like that. There was no way to contact people. I was in a complete place of being stuck in a trunk for 2 hours. And listen, I signed up for that. Don't get all weird on that. I signed up for that. And you want to talk about the feeling of being completely lost. Lost. I didn't know if I could go left. I didn't know if I could go right. I don't know if I should back up. I don't know if I should go forward. You stand there for a moment and you have absolutely no idea what direction to go. I can honestly say I am lost, completely, totally, desperately lost. And I don't know where I'm at. And it's not a fun feeling. There was nothing good about that night. But have you ever really been to a place to be just desperately lost? Well, you don't know if you're supposed to go this way. And you don't know, I've tried this way. And I'm going, maybe I should go this way. Or man, I don't know, maybe I should go this way. And you honestly, you come to a place that you just are desperate because you are lost. And you try, listen, you try to find a way. What way am I supposed to go? Do I go north? Do I go south? Do I go east? Do I go west? Which way do I go? And you do everything you possibly can to try to find a way. Church is no different from you and I. Every single person who's ever lived completely comes to this place to be eternally, spiritually lost. And some may try to do this, and some may try to do that, and some may try to do this, and some may try to go in this direction. But when Jesus said, listen, I'm it. I'm your way. I'm the way maker. And I love in Ezekiel, look at this, Ezekiel 34. I want to read this because we're going to back up to verse 11. And there's so much in this. And I love how Ezekiel 34 is the gospel. It's God to you. When God says, Sean, I'm pursuing you. Sean, I'm seeking. Sean, you're lost and I'm coming for you. I love that idea. Sean, you're lost. And once you know you're lost, you're looking for a way. I'm coming. Hold on, Sean, I'm coming. Church, what happens when you begin to understand I am lost? And you have the creator of the universe saying, hold on, I'm coming. Watch this, Ezekiel 34, verse 11. It's amazing. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and to seek them out. You could build on that alone. I myself, I'm coming. I'm searching for my sheep. I'm looking for the lost. Listen, please hear this. You didn't find Jesus. Jesus found us. Those who are lost look to be found. Those who are found don't look to be found. Jesus was never lost. He put himself on a manger, which is why we're here today. Because that baby in the manger came as truly the one and only way maker. He made a way. That was God fulfilling Ezekiel 34, saying, I'm coming. Hold on. I've already got a way. I've already got away. Hold on. I love this. Here it is. Watch this. I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out as a shepherd cares for his herd. And the day when he is among the scattered sheep, I will come for my sheep. Listen, church, please hear this. Where are you in this? Are you in this place to know Christ? Are you in this place to have drifted from Christ? Are you in this place to not know Christ? It is one of the three. Even those who have drifted, man, you are still his. That is such a great promise because he says, listen, please hear this. Please hear this. So, Hebrews 13:6 says this, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. This is for the one who says, yes, I there was once I was so pressed towards Christ. Man, I understood who he was as my Savior and my Lord, but I'm just not there right now. His promise to you is I will never desert you. I will never abandon you or forsake you. And we know this. And then verse 6 says, so we may confidently say, I love that. We may confidently say that he is my help. I will not be afraid for what can man do to me. Church, what happens when you come to a place to put yourself in this place in Ezekiel where he says, listen, as the shepherd cares for his herd in the day and among the scattered sheep, he says, I will care for my sheep and I will deliver them from all the places. Oh, church, how he loves us. Church, how God pursues us and how he seeks for us and how he loves us. He says, I will deliver them from all places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and a gloomy day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. He says this, and I will feed them in good pasture and I will have them lay down in good grazing ground and feed them in rich pasture on the mountain of Israel. And I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the scattered. I will bind up the broken. And I will strengthen the sick. Where are we in this verse? I will seek the lost. I love this word seek. It means to pursue. It means to chase after. It means to chase down. To know, church, to know that the creator of the universe has pursued this little dot out of billions and billions and billions of dots, that I may come to know him. That I was in this desperate place of being lost, that he came and he found me. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the scattered. I will bind up the broken. I will strengthen the sick. Here's what happens when you come to a place. If you turn to just Titus, please, and we'll close this thing out. I just want to read this. You come to a place to realize what it means to be found. When you know you're lost and you know that there is one who says, just hold on, Sean, I'm coming. I'm coming. It's a promise. He is the promise keeper. I'm coming for you, Sean. I'm coming in a way that people didn't expect. Man, I'm coming. I'm leaving heaven and putting on flesh to be born through a virgin in a manger, to live a perfect life, to find myself on a cross. And on that sacrifice on the cross, in that, you can be saved. He is the way maker. So Jesus comes to a place to put himself on a cross. And I want to just cover this verse. It's so good in Titus. Titus 2, it says this. Verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our Lord, of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Looking for the glory. Looking for that honor. Looking for the majesty. Looking for the splendor of our great God and Lord, Christ Jesus. Watch this. Here it is. Christ Jesus, who gave himself up, verse 14, who gave himself up for us. What? How is it that he provided a way? How is it that Jesus Christ is the one who made a way? He gave himself up for us. You mean that he came, put himself in a feeding trough on purpose, put flesh on? The one, I love this picture even this morning that we sing, and when Travis was reading, the one who literally held the world in his hand. Put on flesh so that Mary could hold him in her hand. Who does that? How's that possible? You mean the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, the creator of mankind, the one who holds the world in his hand, the one who can measure the world in the span of his hand, came and put on flesh and actually had to be held by mom in her own hand. Why? Because he had to come and give himself up. He left heaven and gave himself up for the lost, for his great creation. I love this because it says this, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless work, to redeem us from every lawless deed. To redeem us. He gave himself up for the purpose. Here's the purpose. It was to redeem us. And then that literally means to buy back, to pay it up, to buy us back. Listen, every lawless deed, that's sin, that's transgression, that's iniquity. Church, when you begin to understand that sin stole us from God, It is sin that separated you and I from God. And I love this amazing picture of that which stole us from God was sin. Jesus Christ had to give himself up, put himself on a cross to redeem us, which means to restore or to buy back that which was stolen and give it back to its original owner. That's the depth of redemption, is that Jesus put himself on a cross so that he could pay the price to buy me back, so that I could be restored back to my original owner. And I love this. Hear this. Please hear this. He gave himself up to purify for himself a people. To purify himself a people for his own possession. And church, what does it mean? What's it mean to purify? It means to make something so pure that there's no contaminants. That watch this, please hear this. Wherever you're at this morning, this means that your sin, when you come to a place to understand the work of the cross and the blood that was shed on the cross for you and I, that work has purified us from sin, that there's no contaminants. Which, watch this, please hear this. That means that guilt isn't from God. Shame isn't from God. For those who have come to know Christ, shame, not a part of the equation. Guilt, not a part of this whole story. The condemnation, not a part of the story. What is it? No, he says in Titus, he says, listen, I've come to bring you back and to restore you to the place of rightful ownership. I've come to purify you, that there's no contaminants. Sin can't contaminate you. You walk in his place and say, no guilt, no shame, no condemnation, because I am in Christ. Man, this is what he's made a way for you and I. And I love this, to purify for himself a people for his own possession. And here's the some of the greatest news. Despite how you see yourself, can I share? I think this is quite possibly one of the biggest problems we have, is how we view ourselves. Is when Paul is writing this, he says, listen, this is the deal. He wants to purify for himself, for his own possession. You know what possession means? It's a beautiful word. It means his greatest treasure. And when you understand, Lord, I am, you mean I am your greatest treasure? Well, I think that's explained in the cost to pay you back, to buy you back. When you understand how valuable you are, you understand the cost that it took to buy you back. And when we declare this morning that he truly is the way maker, Jesus Christ came to make a way. When there seemed to be no way, there's no way out. I am lost and I can't figure it out, man. I don't know where to go. I believe this morning God is calling you to say, listen, here it is. Jesus, my son, is the way maker. You need Christ in your life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father but through him. Come on, if you would just bow your head just for a moment, please, and we'll bounce. I don't know where you're at this morning. Are you in a place where you're like, yes, I celebrate my salvation, man. I know that I was desperately, hopelessly lost, man. I didn't know which way to go until I heard the truth of the good news that Jesus came, put himself in a feeding trough on purpose so that there'd be a perfect moment in time to find himself on a cross as a sacrifice to pursue me who was lost. And in him doing that, there is true redemption. Man, I can come back to this place to have my relationship with God restored, brought back to its rightful owner. Man, I can walk purified, no condemnation, no guilt, no shame, but pure, without contaminants. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And Sean, you're telling me that The Lord thinks I'm his greatest treasure. Are you kidding me? Me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, 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 for you. Why? Because you're that valuable. That's why. Please hear this. Please hear this. You are his greatest prize. You are his greatest possession. You are his greatest treasure. He loves you. And the cost for you was great. But it screams about how valuable you really are. The Lord wants you back if you've drifted. He hasn't gone anywhere, by the way. He loves you. He loves you. Come on, man. Know it. He loves you. He's pursuing you. I will seek the lost. I will chase down the lost. Father, we thank you for this moment. Thank you for this day as we've celebrated to the very best that we can. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we're amazed by you. Thank you for coming. Father, I'm asking by your Spirit that you would draw every person in this moment, wherever they may be, wherever they're at in this place, that they would come to know you in such a real way. Jesus himself said, you must repent and believe. Come to this place to know that my sin has stolen me away. And I turn from sin. I repent from sin. I acknowledge that sin is the thief. And I turn away from sin. I repent. And I believe in Jesus. Jesus, you are the way maker. You made a way. And the Bible says to confess that he is Lord. And in this moment, you come to a place, I don't want to be lost anymore. I don't want to wander. I don't want to try this and I don't want to try that. I want to get away from this and I want to get, I'm done trying. I'm done feeling desperate. I'm done being lost. I surrender. Jesus, I confess that you are Lord of my life. You are my master and you are Sir. I surrender. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. Amen. Oh.